What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number three. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. And for those of you watching on YouTube, we do have a guest. It's not the lovely Lady Claire. But before we get to the guest, though, we got to take one more phone call, and that will be from Art Off the Grid. Art, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. I want to talk about the women in the draft here. I'm going to kind of upset a few people. But before I get to that real quick, you know, this hate crime stuff going on with this, whoever this new one is burning down its house?
Yes.
Folks, you know, nobody's believing your crap anymore. That's why you're getting caught, okay? As Joan Bear, what's her name, Joy Bear on The View replied to Whoopi Goldberg when she said, why do we keep doing this? Joy Bear said, because we so desperately want to believe it. Okay,
yes.
You know what, folks? Quit, okay? Now, with women in the draft, because I know you've got your guests coming up, women in the draft, here's how I look at it. I'm kind of an old-fashioned guy living in a modern-day world, so I know I got to kind of have to deal with things as they are. However, ladies, for those of you and you fellas out there who seem to have a problem with women in the draft, you wanted equal rights.
Yep. Absolutely. Okay, I think Art just hung up. Okay. All right, so sitting behind me is James from Arizona, otherwise known as Cactus Moon. He's one of the oldest members and supporters of WhatReallyHappened.com, and he and his wife are out here on vacation, and he decided he wanted to sit in on the third hour and just chit-chat about all kinds of stuff there. So I see you actually, before we get into your list, you had this story about writing your representative a letter about Israel and Palestine. Can you tell that story?
I called the her Washington office. It was her last name, Senator McSally. And I told her I was against the things that Israel was doing and the BDS, how the anti-BDS movement and all that sort of business. I got a letter back from her, and she said, and she thanked me for her, for my support of Israel, that she felt the same way.
There you have it, folks. They're not even reading those letters. You know, they just scan for words and send out a canned response. And apparently the idea that any American could be opposed to what Israel is doing in Palestine hasn't been programmed into that computer anywhere.
I'll tell you what I wanted to talk about today.
Okay.
I wanted to talk about the Holocaust. I have a brief history for you, a rather condensed history. And I have some credentials in this area. I've been personal friends with many of the people that have investigated it. But the condensed history goes something like this. I have here a page from the World Book Encyclopedia, and I looked up death camps. And under death camps, oh my, it doesn't have anything. So I looked up Holocaust. Oh my, nothing on the Holocaust. World Book Encyclopedia, 1958. In addition to that, if you looked at the Eisenhower's Crusades in Europe,
yes,
that was 539 pages. De Gaulle wrote a memoir.
Yes.
And I can't remember how many pages he had in there. And, of course,
Churchill.
Churchill wrote the...
Yeah, not a word,
right.
Not a mention about...
Totally 7,000 pages.
Yes.
Not word about 6 million Jews dying, gas chambers,
yep,
or Holocaust.
Nope, not a word.
So there's your condensed history. Well, why is it important? Why are we even talking about that today? Well, it's because the Holocaust is held up to the American public and the politicians as to why we owe Israel something. And, of course, President Assad from Syria, I thought, had the best explanation. He says, well, assuming this is true, and all this is true, why are the Palestinians paying for it? And, of course,
yes,
there's no answer for it. And if you do investigate the Holocaust, you're punished severely with jail time.
Yes.
Let's see, I think it was Bishop William Richardson, as I recall. He came out and he says there's just no evidence for homicidal gas chambers, and he was in trouble.
Yep.
And of course, one of my friends, David Irving, he was incarcerated, put in jail for 13 months for something he wrote 17 years ago. They originally had him booked for 10 years in jail because of it. Ernst Sundel went to jail for 7 years. Guillermo Rudolph went to jail. In 16 countries, it's against the law to question the Holocaust. You're called a Holocaust denier, which is a meaningless term. I refer to it as Holocaust truthers. I went in 1994 and visited all those sites. And I had pretty much of an open mind. I really did. But when I started looking at those things that they called homicidal gas chambers, it was almost laughable. Now, you probably remember David Cole.
Yes, I remember David Cole. He did this amazing video about Auschwitz.
Well, I had met him in 94, and he asked me to do some follow-up for him over there. So when I was in Auschwitz, I did the work I had to do, and then I went and asked permission. Of course, I didn't get permission because they wanted to know my credentials and who I was and who I was supporting and whatnot. But I've known Ernst Sundel, Frederick Tobin, a whole bunch of people like that. And I didn't know any of them that didn't start out believing this. They all believed it. We all believed it until we saw the evidence.
Oh, I'm the same way when I was raised in school. I mean, I was fed the story and, we have to feel sorry for the Jewish people and, never say bad things to them. And it wasn't until I saw how people who were questioning the accuracy of the Holocaust story were being treated that I started to get suspicious. Because if you claim that you saw the Bigfoot, you don't lose your job. If you claim you've been taken up into outer space in a flying saucer, you don't get thrown in jail. If you claim that you saw the Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster's love child, people will laugh at you, but that's the end of it. Only in this one area of inquiry is so much force of law being brought to bear to discourage people from that questioning. And that right there tells me there is some great lie being hidden.
Well, I want to lay a little more background before I get into the ramifications of it. And that is, I looked up and read on these things, and the established thing that they have now is it was in homicidal gas chambers with Cyclone B, which, of course, is impossible. By the way, while I'm on that, and before I forget, Fred Leuchter did a a forensic report on the homicidal gas chambers at both Auschwitz and Majdanek.
Yeah.
And he found, when they came back, they took their specimens, sent it to an independent laboratory, found no traces of Cyclone B, which is the common name for that is Prussian blue, and it leaves that stain there for a long time. And the museum at Auschwitz repeated the experiment. And they found the same thing. They didn't find any evidence. So what did they do? They changed the story. They said, well, there wasn't enough of the Cyclone B in the gas chamber long enough to leave stains. Where do you go with that? But
let's be honest. Auschwitz did, in fact, change that plaque that was out front.
Oh, yes.
Where originally it had said 4 million died here, and then they went down to 1.5 million. Of all kinds, not just Jews, but Poles, Gypsies, everybody. And, of course, most of those people actually died of the typhus epidemics that swept through Germany, that the retreating Germans brought back from Russia, and they didn't have the medicines to deal with it. And what the Zyklon B was actually for, it was a fumigant to kill the body lice that were carrying the typhus from person to person to person. But when you see those photos of those very emaciated people, anybody who's a doctor is going to look at that and say, yeah, that's what typhus does to you. It just dehydrates you and you waste away. So anyway, Auschwitz took out the plaques that said 4 million, put in new plaques that said 1.5 million, but still that magical 6 million number is still being wafted around.
Actually, they've come down below the 1 million mark now, but the when I was there, they have the display showing the shoes and the glasses and whatnot. They're not on a flat plane. They're on a tilted plane like that to make it look like there's more there. Well, the whole row was down there, and I went kind of along the side, and I opened up that back door, and that's what I found.
Yeah.
And the other thing I found there that was rather interesting is when you go, and this is an Auschwitz one, which is the main camp.
Yeah.
I looked at one, and that big, all the window was blacked out, all black. So I went around behind to find out what it was blacked out for, and that's where the that's where the swimming pool was.
Yes.
And there's testimony from the inmates that they used the swimming pool.
Yeah. So, no, they had amenities there. This idea that Germany wanted to kill the Jewish prisoners in these camps is laughable. Germany needed them because they were slave labor. They were making material for the German military. And, you know, why spend the money and the fuel to kill these people when, you know, they're more useful being kept alive? Remember, the Red Cross had offices in all of these camps. They don't report gas chambers and gassings and deaths. And the prisoner, they weren't death camps. They were slave labor camps, which doesn't make it okay because slave labor is still bad. But I visited, when I was working on a film project in Munich, I got to visit Dachau. And the tour guide there said, there was no death stuff. This was a factory. The prisoners here made things for the army.
What year was that? Do you remember?
Oh, it was the year that Challenger blew up. And I know it's an odd thing to link to, but that happened while I was over there.
Well, a lot of people don't know that as soon as you walk through the gate at Auschwitz, that first building there was a brothel for the inmates. And they had their own money.
Yeah, they had script money. They had a theater. They had an orchestra.
That's not an opinion. That's a fact. You can see pictures of the money.
Oh, yeah.
That they could use.
Oh, yeah.
And they had, I think, 7 orchestras.
Yes.
Now, the Carmelite nuns, are you familiar with them?
Yes.
Okay, so the Carmelite nuns took over one of the buildings there, which was the old theater.
Yeah.
And the Jewish fringe had a big riot type of thing. I don't know how big it was to kick them out because they wanted that exclusively to be the memorial for Jews.
Oh, okay.
And it was really interesting going through Auschwitz. When I did take the tour, again, I took the tour after I did all the work I had to do. And this guy is showing me this stuff, and I had to keep from laughing, but a couple of times I broke out laughing, you know, because what he was telling me was so utterly impossible and utterly ridiculous.
Yeah.
And he's looking at me now, and he knows that I know.
Yeah.
So he said if I'd have told him sooner, he could have showed me a lot more for a couple hundred bucks.
That would have been interesting indeed. I mean, you know, the whole point of all these laws to prevent questioning the Holocaust is to keep people from sitting down with a pencil, paper, and a calculator and actually running the numbers on what it would have taken to get rid of that many people, dispose of their bodies. Germany just didn't have that kind of resources, didn't have that much coal, and they needed the coal for steelmaking for the war. So it didn't make sense. But again, the reason I think that we're seeing all these laws come on out against questioning the Holocaust is because more and more people are questioning it. In our age, we have come to understand we are lied to on a massive, massive scale.
Yeah.
You know, about Saddam's nuclear weapons, Spanish mine in Havana Harbor, Pearl Harbor surprise, and it just goes on and on. We're being lied to today. We're learning that these hate crimes that TV shows us are likely hoaxes. Probably most of the ones that are hitting France right now are hoaxes to support Israel's push for more stringent draconian laws.
Yeah.
They want laws to make it illegal to criticize the actions of the government of Israel. And that, to me, Israel wants that in this country. There are an alarming number of members of Congress who want to go along with it, even though it clearly is a violation of the First Amendment.
Well, you're aware that originally they claimed that there were homicidal death camps inside Germany.
Yes.
Okay. And that they later came out with that shortly. I don't know how recent it's been, but it's out there that there were no homicidal gas chambers, death camps in Germany. But what's interesting is they have eyewitnesses claiming that they saw the gas chambers. They saw their friends go in. Of course, they flew the smoke come up in the air. Well, I'm on the smoke thing. Crematories do not smoke.
If they're properly designed, yeah, they don't issue smoke.
But I think it was, who was the one that, help me out with it. He's the one that they've thrown the apple over the wall and everything, and he just recently came out. And when I'm saying recently, within the last 5 years, he said it was all a lie.
Yeah, they made it up.
And the interviewer is saying, well, why did you tell us a lie? He says, well, it wasn't a lie. And the interviewer is going like, he doesn't know what to say. And the guy says, it wasn't a lie because I really believed it. You know, where do you go with that?
Yeah, that's definitely. Well, I mean, there have been this spate of Holocaust memoirs that have come on out, and they're promoted, they're sold, they're put on school mandatory reading list, and then they blow up in people's faces. Fragments is one of the better known. Frauds there. Now it's basically coming on out that the diary of Anne Frank is very suspect. Somebody actually found a sample of Anne Frank's real handwriting on the back of a surviving photo, and it absolutely does not match the writing in the diary. And you know that Anne Frank's father, Leo Frank, actually had a legal dispute with somebody that he'd hired to ghostwrite much of the book.
And part of that was written in ballpoint pen.
Wasn't available in Europe until after the war was over.
I was a good friend with Dr. Robert Faurisson from France. Matter of fact, the last time I met with him was in Vichy, and he did a lot of work with that. He sat down and talked to Anne Frank's father.
Yeah.
And he tried to get a fingerprint, but his father wouldn't give it to him. But that's also very interesting. But the point is here, what are we doing? We're looking for what really happened, if you don't mind me using the title. We're looking for the truth. And there's nothing anti-Semitic about looking for the truth. But it's become, I'm sorry to say, I think it's become a religion for a lot of people.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it. They're raised to believe. They're told the story. This is, you will believe. And that's it. Their minds are locked to this thing. I mean, children are taught things that they believe. Their personality evolves around those core beliefs, and it makes it very difficult to break away from those beliefs.
Yeah, I'm gonna. I was actually at Auschwitz for the 50th anniversary of the Soder Commando uprising.
Yeah,
and that was quite interesting. I didn't expect what I saw. We had people up there testifying, and we had people dressed up in Auschwitz uniforms, and people were fainting all over the place. It was a scripted Hollywood scene. There was just no two ways about it.
Yeah. Anyway, what else would you like to talk about?
Well, I wanted to go into what are the ramifications for this, because it's being held over our heads as decent people that we owe all this.
Well, I take issue with that, okay? Because first of all, America had nothing to do with these slave labor camps.
Correct.
Or putting the Jews in there. In fact, America had a great deal to do with stopping Hitler from doing what he was doing. And common sense would tell you, Israel should be grateful to us. Israel should be sending us money, not the other way around.
Exactly.
And because, you know, World War II, a lot of people died there. A lot of families lost their primary breadwinners, and they suffered because of it. And you would think that Israel would show some gratitude to the United States and the other allies for bringing whatever it was going on in Germany to an end. But instead, the attitude is, you didn't do enough for us, you didn't do it soon enough, you owe us money. My attitude is, I refuse to accept responsibility for anything that happened before I was born. Because it's utterly ridiculous. Anyway, we got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder, what's a guy on Main Street to do? I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. But I must admit lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And again, once more, we are holding our hand out to you for your support in keeping Republic Broadcasting alive and on the air. We don't have big corporate sponsors. We don't have the globalists shoveling money at us. George Soros didn't send us a Christmas card this year. And we really need your help. So the postal address where you can send a check, money order, or if you prefer anonymity, cash, is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can call in a debit or credit card donation or pledge to be a recurring subscriber is 800-724-2719, extension 1 during business hours, extension 3 at all other times. The network thanks you. And, of course, as always, over at whatreallyhappened.com, you can hit that donate button. And this month, folks, we could really use a little extra help. Anyway, we're getting on back here to James from Arizona. And to just sort of wrap up this Holocaust thing and get on to other subjects, you had one more thing you wanted to share with us.
I was just going to tell you, we did a little experiment at the Simon Wiesenthal Center for Museum of Tolerance. And they had a Holocaust survivor there lying through the so much you couldn't believe it. But what was saddening to me is when the gentleman was done speaking, these children, 10, 11, 12 years old, went up to him, and he'd put his arm around him and have a picture taken with a Holocaust survivor like it was, if it was God or something. Very depressing to see that happen. And the money that they bring in from this thing is incredible.
Yes.
I mentioned to you that we give Israel over $3 billion a year. That's on budget. And then they buy some armament from us and some other things. But part of that money goes back into paying off the Congress to give them more money.
It's a kickback scheme.
Yeah, and Israel does not need our money.
No, they just like it.
But I wanted to mention also that along with the USS Liberty, they have what's called the FIDF. That's the Friends of the Israeli Defense Forces. And I'm going back a few years now off the top of my head, but every time they have a fundraiser, there's people that donate millions of dollars.
Yes.
And assuming they're in the 80% bracket, which I'm sure they are, they donate $100,000. 80% is loss of tax revenue. Now, Larry Ellison donated $12 million at one of them, and they just don't run out of money. And the IDF are the same people that attacked the USS Liberty in 1967.
Yes.
And I'm very, very familiar with that. I was acquainted with Admiral Thomas Moore, who was chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff at the time. He had a funny story he always told. He said that Israel asked them for a certain weaponry, and he says, "I don't have it." And they called him back the next day, and they told him, "You have it, and here's where it is."
Okay, yeah, that sounds like... anyway, let me get this a little closer to you. There we are.
Okay.
All right. Certainly with the idea of the Liberty, I mean, to me, it was clear that the plan was to sink the Liberty, blame Egypt for it, to trick the United States into the war on Israel's side. And fortunately, the crew of the Liberty were able to improvise a radio antenna, because Israel had shot off the antennas on the first pass. And they got a message out saying, "We're being attacked by Israeli gunboats." And that was probably one of the biggest mistakes that Israel made, because the airplanes they used for the first part of the attack had no markings on them whatsoever. No. But they failed to sink the Liberty, and that's when they sent out these little patrol boats, torpedo boats, and they hadn't had time to remove the insignia.
Yeah.
So there was a little Star of David painted on the side of the of the hull. And that's
The planes were French Mirages, weren't they?
Yeah, but they had no military marks.
Military,
I mean, the French Mirage was exported. Everybody had
that.
So that was not really compelling. But yeah, it was another false flag intended to get the United States into a war. And as I was saying earlier in the show, that's how these things get done. Yeah, and especially with America demonstrably becoming very tired of all the wars we've been in, I think false flags are going to get a lot worse and more bloody and more dramatic to try and rile up the war fever again. But I don't know about you. I'm burned out on all this conflict.
I am too. Admiral Moore, and I my memory doesn't serve me well right now, and three other people were on a Blue Ribbon Committee. It was held in the Sam Rayburn Building, and they came up with the conclusion that the attack was definitely deliberate, and not one single word about their findings was in the news.
No, the official story was it was a case of mistaken identity, that Israel's forces had mistaken the Liberty for an Egyptian horse carrier, because as we all know, horse carriers have large dish antennas all over the top of them.
Yeah. So, that's another black mark on Israel, as far as I'm concerned.
You know, over at the U.S. Cryptographic Museum, they actually have the Liberty's flag on display with the holes in it from the Israeli cannon. The National Cryptographic Museum.
Oh.
Anyway, we got to take another break for commercials. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Okay, Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And James, we were talking about, well, I think we'd pretty much finished up with the USS Liberty. I mean, the people who want to believe that Israel couldn't do something like that, we're never going to change their mind. Again, it's more of a religion. People want to believe what they want to believe. And part of the problem is our education system discourages critical thought.
Absolutely.
And it was especially bad under Common Core, which not only failed to educate our kids how to think, left them with such poor skills they can't compete even in the U.S. job market. That's why we're being flooded with these H-1B visa workers. And even Bill Gates, who put $400 million of his own fortune into Common Core, has now said the whole thing was a complete failure. And we need to go back to more traditional teaching methods. Yeah.
Well, I wanted to show them just five things. This hat that Mike sent me. I was doing some stuff.
Do you want them to see your last name?
I don't care. Sure.
Oh, okay.
I was doing some work for at the Tea Party conferences and sending the stuff to Mike. And I says, I got to have some way of identifying myself. Well, here's what he sent me. Now my mic is on, so you can't see it.
Yeah,
but it's extra large. It doesn't fit.
Yep.
But you know, coming into the last portion of the program, I used to have a business and I would have an employee come in, tell me about a problem. And I'd say, you're welcome to come in here and tell me you have a problem anytime you want to, but tell me what the answer is. So that's what brings me to, what is the answer to all this? Obviously, writing your congressman is a waste of time. They don't listen to you. Once they get in, they're beholden to the corporate structure, the funds and whatnot, and they're part.
They're beholden to whoever wrote them the biggest check, and right now the biggest checks are coming.
I don't have an answer to it. I really don't. The only thing I can say is don't back down from any of these things. If people say the Liberty was an accident, stand right up, and you know for a fact it isn't. Say, no, it wasn't.
Yes.
Don't be afraid. You're going to get rap for it, but I don't know. Maybe you have some suggestions on that.
Well, you know, my philosophy is let the truth be told, though the heavens may fall. I'm paraphrasing loosely from the Bible. And we have to stand for truth. We're living in an age in which we're literally being told that our patriotic duty is to believe the lies. And mm-hmm. that is complete and utter nonsense. And we, the American people, deserve the truth. We're owed the truth. And if we cannot get it from corporate media and the government, we have to go on out and find it for ourselves and just be aware that every entity, corporate or government, that seeks to control us is going to be lying to us to get what they want.
Yeah. And I think this website does a pretty good job of getting the news out there and being accurate with it.
Well, we're doing our best here. We do make a mistake every once in a while. We get fed a lot of bogus stuff in attempts to trip us up. And just like anybody who's out surfing the web, you have to be very, very careful. I mean, there are websites that have been set up that are bogus news websites, and I don't know who's paying for all of this, but all they do is churn out completely. They look like they're serious news sites, but they'll put out stuff like Ruth Bader Ginsburg has died in the hopes that it will get picked up and posted on the other websites like this one. To make us look silly and stupid and try and drive the audience back to corporate media, which is in serious trouble. They had 15,000 layoffs last year. I don't know what the overnights are for the Academy Awards, but they've been trending down over the last couple of years as well. The American people are turning away from the lights and wires in a box.
Yeah.
And I think that's a healthy thing.
Well, I think that there's two things a person can do. One, you have to have intellectual courage.
Yes.
And that's pretty tough to do sometimes. You have to stand up maybe in a group of six or seven and speak up the truth. And I don't know how to tell people to do this because each situation is different. You can't speak up and lose your job. It's a real,
no, you can't.
Real touchy situation. And as far as the websites are going, I have a friend, and I really like him a lot, but he comes back at me and he says, well, you know, there's so much junk out on the website. I says, well, you know, think for yourself. You know, some people just want everything handed to them on a silver platter, and God is everything true. Well, is everything true on whatreallyhappened.com website? No, we make mistakes. It happens.
Yeah, it does. No, but if you want somebody to just hand you what's going on, you're going to be handed a platter full of lies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to lead you to do whatever it is the government wants you to do. That's what propaganda is all about. Everyone always talks about mind control. All mind control is knowledge control. By controlling what the brain knows, you control what the brain thinks and leads you to say, oh, we have no choice but to go to war in Syria. We have no choice but to go to war in Venezuela. Yeah. We've got no choice but to go to war against Russia and China. And people need to wake up from that and realize Americans are the most lied to people on the face of planet Earth, and it's been that way for a very long time.
Yeah, that's true. And you can't walk in somebody's moccasins, or what is it? If you haven't walked in his moccasins, don't criticize him. It's very hard to do sometimes to stand up for the truth, but I don't know what the alternative is. I really don't. Obviously, writing your congressman is not an answer, and quite frankly, I've been visited with him face to face. Matter of fact, they was the old H.W., the other Bush, the father Bush. They don't really care. They really don't care. I can't tell you how disappointed it was that they just don't care.
That seems to be the mindset. I mean, the curse of political power, it is attracts the people who shouldn't have it, most of whom seem to be showing symptoms of sociopathy. And that is a complete obliviousness to how their actions are harming other people around them. They're there for the money. They're there for more donations. They're all there getting incredibly wealthy. And yeah, they're willing to sell out the most basic fundamental principles on which this country was founded to please the masters with the checkbooks.
I think one answer is, and I don't know how to get it done, if we could take, like you had a senator that you just elected, and 6 months after you elected him, you found that he or she was going against everything they said they would do, everything you believe in, to get him out of office right then and there, throw him out after 6 months.
Yep.
But I don't know how you could do that. I just don't.
Well, I don't advocate violence on this website, but there is a little anecdotal story. Going back to my grandfather, he's the one who won the Croix de Guerre in World War I, was drinking buddies with Richard Nixon. But he was a very straight talker about politics, old-school New Hampshire Republican. And he used to say, the way that you have a proper republic is that you elect a politician. And if they don't do what they promise they're going to do and only what they promise they do, you shoot them. Then you elect another politician. And if they don't do what they promise they do and only what they promise they do, you shoot them. Then you elect a third politician. And the chances are that guy's going to keep his promises.
And I like that.
That's kind of the way my grandfather would view these kind of situations. I really do think this country is heading for a Soviet Union-style collapse. And the most wise and prudent thing the American people can be doing right now is to be prepared to get through it and to form a new nation on the other side along the model of the Russian republics. And just as Putin had to kick out the oligarchs, we're going to have to kick out the career politicians and just say, no, you screwed it up. We're not letting you back in. You don't get a second chance.
Your thinking is good. I don't know whether the collapse will be a Russian Revolution type of thing or what, but this is all coming together. The system cannot take many more insults to it. It's like the human body. You keep punching holes in it, it dies pretty soon.
Yeah.
So, and I don't think people are ready for this at all. They're still living in a
I'm
in a dream world.
Sadly, I agree that you're right. I think most Americans are in denial about just how fragile the nation has become, how fragile the economy is. We are heading into a new recession that may wake some people up. But again, looking at the poll numbers about how Americans no longer trust corporate media and government, they're obviously out there thinking about what's going on. And, you know, they're not going to have the fine details the way dedicated independent media have, because we work at this, we study this, but they know something's gone wrong with this country.
Well, the other thing that it's a little bit tangential to what we're talking about here is there doesn't seem to be any rules for the media. You can have hackers, there's no punishment for them at all.
Yeah.
They can go on with it. And why is that? It's because the government doesn't want a punishment, or the way they would be punishing them.
Yeah, it's strange. Again, getting on back to the hate crime hoaxes, the hoaxers very rarely face any legal consequences. I mean, more recently, they get hit with filing a false police report, and Jussie Smollett looks like he's facing a felony count, so he could go away to jail for 3 years.
Or they go to training. They are sent to Holocaust training or something.
Well, I don't. Whatever. This was that racial hate crime and everything. You were talking something about Chuck Yeager during the commercial break.
Yeah, well, Chuck Yeager was an interesting chap.
Yes, he was.
One of the things he did, and no, people don't realize it, as you can read it in his book, is he wrote how he was given the order, not him personally, but the whole squadron, to strafe the fields, kill every cow, horse, child, man, woman. And he said, I did it.
Yeah.
Now, you can.
Do you know what he said after that?
No.
He said, if we're going to be doing things like this, we'd better win this war.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Thanks for bringing that up. But that brings up the point of you can't bury that under the fog of war either, which, you know, reminds me of Lieutenant Colley in My Lai.
Yeah.
And they, well, things happen in war. Well, they don't happen in war.
They're made to happen.
Yeah. And one of the things that has been suppressed really well is the atrocities that the Allied forces committed against the Germans, for example, during the Second World War.
Oh, well, there's the firebombing of Dresden. There were the internment camps for the Germans following Germany's surrender. They just starved those Germans to death.
Yeah, I think they were called the Eisenhower camps.
That's right. They had the Eisenhower camps. And I remember I had uncles who served in Europe in World War II. And, of course, I was just a little kid back then. But I remember them clearly saying, you know, don't believe what the school is telling you about the war.
Mm-hmm.
And just that simple.
I had an acquaintance. I used to work for my father when I was real young, and one of his employees was in the Second World War, and he witnessed all kinds of atrocities, and I suspect that he committed a whole bunch of them. And he would get to drinking and just go nuts. Nobody could even control him, and it was about his memories of being in combat.
PTSD.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, we called it shell shock.
That's right, yeah, shell shock.
And fortunately, my family tended to avoid that, but they'd been in combat. My grandfather would never say what he won the Croix de Guerre for, and he never wore it. We don't know what that story was. He did lose a lung to the German mustard gas, and I still have his old gas mask and helmet.
Was that World War One then?
World War One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was part of the Yankee Division. Funny story about that one. The Yankee Division was actually put together by former President Teddy Roosevelt, who wanted to actually lead it into battle himself. And Woodrow Wilson said, "Absolutely not." The idea of a former president being captured by the enemy was unacceptable, and Roosevelt never forgave him for that. So they put together this Yankee Division, which included a lot of the original Rough Riders, and they sent them over to Europe. It was an all-volunteer unit because war had not yet officially been declared between the United States and Germany. So war is declared, the draft is enabled, and they send out a draft notice for my grandfather. And, of course, he doesn't respond to it. So they send out, you know, these officers looking for him. You know, he's got to report to the draft here. Of course, he's already over in Europe.
Yeah.
You know, and my family being the kind of people they are, they say, "Oh, I think I saw him over there in Penicuik yesterday. I think so over there. Yeah, just go on over there. You can't miss him." And they ran these guys all around, you know. And, of course, after the war was over, and Grandpa came on back, and he had all these medals and decorations and everything, and they sort of like realized that it had been nonsense to call him a draft dodger. But that was that little story. Interesting family history.
I was going to mention Palestine, or do you want to go on to something different?
Well, comment about Chuck Yeager before we go on to Palestine. I actually got to meet him. It was at Edwards Air Force Base, and they were celebrating, I think it was the 50th anniversary of breaking the sound barrier. And so he got into a jet plane and he flew the original course that he'd flown in the X-1 over the Edwards Salt Flat. And, of course, we all got rattled by the sonic boom.
Yeah.
And that was really kind of cool. And somewhere around here buried, I still have my membership card in Pancho Barnes' Happy Bottom Riding Club.
That burned down, didn't it?
Yeah, well, it burned down, and then it got bulldozed when they extended the runway.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's so you can't even do an archaeological dig on it anymore. But if you've seen the movie The Right Stuff, or if you've read Yeager's book, you'll know about it. Now, of course, obviously, Pancho Barnes and the Happy Bottom Riding Club were long gone before I was even born, but they still sell membership cards in it as a charity fundraiser thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I have one somewhere around here.
I spent 2 days with Pete Knight. He flew the last mission of the X-15.
Oh, yeah.
He was a good beer drinker.
Yeah.
Anyway, he told us...
Could you get into that thing sober?
He told us that when they fly something like that, a mission like that, as a pilot, they don't have a lot of options. That everything is programmed to do this, 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 and this.
Oh, yeah, because they're recording the data, yeah. And the plane has to do exactly what the engineers need it to do to get meaningful data.
But
Yeager was great at that.
He said that if he'd have known it was the last flight, he'd have tried to get a little more out of it. And he said, if I'd have tried to get a little more out of it, I'd have lost the plane because I had already lost too many tiles. Just an interesting side story.
Yeah, well, the X-15 was an amazing ship, and I know they broke one in two on landing. I know that Neil Armstrong in his early career was a pilot on the X-15 program.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So,
they only lost one of the X-planes, I think.
Oh, we got to take a break for commercials. Back with the last segment of our program after these few words.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no way.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. That has to be one of the fastest third hours that we've ever done here. And we've got emails coming on in who are just amazed at what you know. And they're asking for you to come on back, which we can do with as a phone interview, because you're in Arizona and I'm here on Oahu, and you don't actually physically get out here all that often. Anyway, during the commercial break, Jim and I were sharing our knowledge, and I think between the two of us, we actually make one decent aeronautical historian.
Yeah.
And we were talking about Jaeger's really bad accident in an F-104, and it was at that time when the test pilots at Edwards were making the decision whether to stay there or to go to the Cape, and Jaeger stayed at Edwards, but they actually put him in charge of a program to train the astronauts. And part of that program was they took an F-104 Starfighter, which was blazingly fast. It was an interceptor. They put a booster rocket underneath the tail section and fitted it out with hydrogen peroxide jets and a little attitude controller like mm-hmm. everybody's become used to. And the whole point of it was to boost this aircraft literally out of the atmosphere to where the regular control surfaces wouldn't work and let the astronauts practice orienting it using the peroxide mm-hmm. jets, oh, yeah. as you would an attitude control jet. And coming back on into the atmosphere, Jaeger ran afoul of the one major design flaw of the F-104, and that was that T-tail, that high tail, because that could get caught in the wind shadow from the main wings, and you couldn't pitch it back down. And apparently he emptied those peroxide jets trying to do that. Went into a flat spin, had to eject, and when the parachute opened, the spent ejector rocket hit him in the head, and that was where he got the really bad burns. And he was nursed back to health at the home of Jackie Cochran, who was the first woman to break the sound barrier. And Jaeger had been her mentor. And Jackie had this habit of dousing airplanes that she'd fly at Edwards in her perfume because she thought they smelled so bad. And apparently she had very expensive perfume because it lingered for years. And pilots would like open up a plane. Oh, Jackie's been here. So anyway.
Well, tell him how old Chuck Jaeger is now.
He's 96. He's still with us. I did a check online. And I'm glad he's doing so well, especially after the way his wife passed away. Because the Air Force doctors, she'd had an illness and they just kept x-raying her and x-raying her and x-raying her. And they didn't really understand at that time what too many x-rays can do. And I think in the end, it was the x-rays that killed her. But, you know, Jaeger's had a really good life. I don't think he's got any complaints.
No, he has. He's done a lot for the country, too.
He absolutely has. I think he retired as a brigadier.
I don't even know. I don't think he cared about rank.
Well, he certainly cared about the boost in pay and benefits.
Yeah.
All right. So we've been wandering down memory lane here and maybe lightened up the show a little bit. Anyway, there's the music. Time for us to get out of here and get something useful done with the rest of the day here. I got to do the Jim Goddard show up in Vancouver now. Please stay tuned for John Stedmiller. I'm sure he's got lots of interesting things to share with you. Please take what you learn here, share it with other people. Please donate to Republic Broadcasting. Please, please, please donate to whatreallyhappened.com, or I'm going to have to sell Jim here for medical experiments.
Thanks.
Okay.
Enjoy being
okay. So, we'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.